Good evening, church. So glad you're with us on a beautiful Wednesday evening. Everyone stand and grab a hymnal. Let's go to number 294. 294. Let's sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. 294. Good to see all of you tonight. Glad y'all come out and thankful for choir practice getting going. Sister Sheila, I got this for you. This is just for you. All right, tonight we're finishing up Proverbs. Yay! Proverbs 31. So be turning in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I want to, and God has really put it on my heart, to get back to our monthly prayer services. And I know that where you're seated at, that those kindly seem dull sometimes, and that's I know how it feels, but we need them. And with what God's doing in our church and the way He's blessing and growing, then we need to do that. But tonight I want to have Brother John, and again want to thank Brother Paul and Brother Otis for filling in Sunday. We were in Hampton, Virginia. Oh, we had an event Saturday, but it was what I needed. I don't know about Brother John or Brother Wayne, but spiritually, it was really what I needed. So tonight, instead of going through all of the names that we have, which we do have a lot. Oh, and by the way, there's another one that we can take off, because we've had Chuck Lawless. You remember, he came about 4 years ago and did a conference here, and he asked us to be praying for his brother-in-law and his sister to be saved, where his brother-in-law has been saved, so we can take him off the list, and he's asking for his sister to be saved there. And as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 31, I do want to go over these prayer needs. Ray Fields' family, this is Sister Jessica, Jesse's grandfather. I've texted with her today. I've called her and didn't get a hold of her, but told her whatever I can do or we can do, we want to do. But from what I know, Friday at 2 p.m. at Holston View Cemetery will be where they have the celebration and the interment of Brother Fields. Also, Lily Skelton, I think I'm saying that name right. This is Robin Skelton's mother, having to make some end-of-life decisions. And if God doesn't intervene, she'll be going home to the Lord before long. Brother Don Daniels, this is Sister Melissa's mother, and things aren't good there. Was looking like he may go back into ICU this afternoon. Brother, that's where they're at tonight. I've texted and talked with Brother Frank last night and today. We want to pray for them. And then also Matt Bodenkamp, that is a co-worker of Brother Frank's. I think they're kindly close. He is in the hospital with COVID right now in a very bad situation there. Want to pray for Yeomans Chapel Baptist Church, the church I came from. That's my home church where I grew up. Their pastor has left. Dilbert and Martha Gillette and their family. Wilma Williams, Sister Phyllis, Susan Lassiter, Brother Pam and Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, and there's many others that we have. But do we have any other prayer needs that we need to put on our prayer list tonight?
Is there a Jeanette and Mike
on there? No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, it's.
I saw that one black man on TV.
Yeah. I tell you what, there's sickness on every hand, and I can echo what my daddy said a few months ago. I'm just tired of death. I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of having to watch people die, and then live without them. You know, it's a different reality when they're gone, you know. But hallelujah, if you know, I lost two good friends last week, did the funeral of one Saturday. But I was able to tell those people that not only is Bill now living his best life, but his best life is his eternal life. I mean, that is just so awesome, and it gives me hope even now just to hear it. Are there any other prayer needs that we might need to put on here tonight?
Michael Berry.
Michael Berry. We will also praise report. Thank God that fentanyl didn't hurt none of our police people. I tell you, that stuff scares me. It scares me a lot. And that's what they had put my friend on right before he had passed. And I tell you, I've seen just dust make people, the dust of it, make them go into convulsions and stuff. But thank God for that. And thank God for getting us to and from Hampton, Virginia. My goodness, that's a long ways away. And wouldn't you know it, both men that I took with me couldn't drive. I was thinking, hey, thank God I've got two men going. We can tag out. Nope, neither one of them could drive. You know it's bad. You know it's bad when I'm the only one that can drive and they got me driving. Any other prayer needs? My gracious goodness. Being so sick, yeah. Her name's on here. Anyone else? Kraft. Rebecca. Oh, my goodness. Hadn't heard if she's busted up or anything. Okay, so no news is good news so far, but still, that's a bad place to be. Anyone else? I'm going to ask Brother John if he would to come and lead us in prayer tonight. And then, was Brother Wayne able to make it tonight? And was wore out? Yeah. This is what you got to remember. First Wednesday after the second Sunday. That's just the Baptist way of saying things. That's just the way it is. I don't know why we say it that way, but that's the way we do it. You know what I mean? So most of the time it's the second Wednesday. I mean, most of the time it's going to be the second Wednesday of the month, okay? Except when it's not. Exactly. Except when it's the third Wednesday of the month. Okay, so Hey, I promise you, when the first session, I turned to these men and I said, they've been listening to my sermons, didn't I? I said, they have stole my vision for our church and just posted it up here. But come on, Brother John, and lead us in a word of prayer. And it is good to laugh, but we know that there are needs tonight, very serious needs, and the altar is always open. Brother John, and then when you're done, just lead us into, tell us about the trip, okay?
Okay. Let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly bow here before you, and Lord, just give you thanks, Lord, for another privilege, Lord, to come together as a body, Father, Lord. Lord, just pray, study your word. Lord, at this time, Lord, we lift up all of the prayer requests here within our church, Lord. We didn't get to read through all of them, but you know each and every need and each and every heart, Father, here within our church. We just lift those up to you and ask that your will be done. And all thanks, Lord, at this time. I just ask your blessings, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Also, we have some study guides for tonight. If y'all need them, just raise your hand and I'll get them for you. Go ahead, Brother John.
All right. Well, I don't have any big spiel. I'll let Wayne and Brian can share the big in-depth details. My short-term memory is terrible, just by the way. So I just about can't remember anything. But I want to say thank you to the church just for allowing us to have the privilege just to go out to the homecoming conference. And just thank you for that. And thank Brian for giving me the invitation there. And Wayne, we all three had a great time, I believe. And it was a great, great time of just fellowship and camaraderie with one another. So, I mean, that was the great thing on the weekend. And the biggest thing I got out of the weekend was just being around other believers, of our other fellow believers of God's church, and just knowing that God is at work. You know, sometimes we can get isolated in our own box. We can get boxed up within our own walls and kind of just not really know. We kind of just think it's only going on right here. And it's easy to get discouraged because you think, what can I do? What can Thomas Village Baptist Church do on its own in this huge, huge world with all the problems that we see? But God is at work.
Amen.
And that's the biggest thing I got out of the weekend. And so we just can't get discouraged. Keep on when he gives that calling to you or to us as a church or to you as an individual. You know, Satan's going to put that whisper in the back of your mind that, oh, just wait. You know, just wait a few more weeks. Let's wait till after the election. Mm-hmm. And, no, let's wait till the new governor starts his term. Well, now it's spring now, so now let's wait till the end of the school year. Then you do it again, and then next thing's, well, let's just wait till the end of summer. Everybody's on vacation now. And the next thing you know, it'll be fall of 2022, and you've done nothing. And so whatever you feel the Lord calling you to do, if it's being led by the Holy Spirit, just do it.
Amen.
Go and make disciples.
Thank you, Brother John. Brother John says he's got bad short-term memory, but how many times have we traveled that one way and I had to have you tell me the directions every time? Going and coming. I failed it bad. And really, you know, there was nothing mind-blowing that we learned. You know, it was, but basically, literally, I mean, the very words that was the first thing told to me was that the speaker said is that the best is yet to come, and drove into the mind that we need to stop talking about the good old days, not to stop talking about them, but stop talking about them as they are the pinnacle of what God has done at this church, because the best has not been done yet. We have yet to see what God is. The good old days are good old days. They were blessed. God moved. but they're not the best days yet. Amen. And then it was funny. Out of 740 churches, there's only 97 that give more than Thomas Village Baptist Church. That puts us in the top 15% of givers in the state of Virginia, and I was proud of that. And there is no other church in Virginia that has more delegates than we have, that we need to be. And Brother John, today I made a phone call for President McFarland, and I've asked him to come and speak to us and come and preach for us. I've already got the commitment in 2002 for someone to come in here now. No, already got it scheduled for 2022 that they'll come in and they'll show the where the money goes and all that. And I've got some of that, but 75% of everything that we give goes to a mission, a ministry, an organization, or something like that, meaning that probably only around 20% goes to paying salaries. You know, a lot of organizations, it's the opposite. So we're thankful for that. But what happened, as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 31, on Saturday, you know, I had the funeral. And so when I was coming, I was coming back and I run out of gas. So I had to call Amy and she had to come pick me up at the Axe Handle, if you know where that's at. So we leave here at after 4 o'clock and we have to go 400 and something miles, but we had a reservation, but we only had 2 beds, so we called those and asked them, could we get a, you know, like a suite, you know, two beds and then a pull-out couch type thing. Well, they said that because my name or nobody else's name was on the credit card that was with us, that they wouldn't give us a room, period. So then we get another place, but when we get there, it's after 12 o'clock, so they've canceled our reservation. And because it's the change of time, their computers are down, and it's going to be another hour before. I told that woman, I literally said, and my wife said, don't be a redneck. I said, listen, I will give you my driver's license, and if she wanted it, the debit card, I'll leave it. Just give me a bed to lay down. But we finally got to bed. I reckon on normal time, it would have been about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But we got it for about $150 less than it was going to be when we first left. So praise God, it was wild. It was something that night. All right, just remain seated. Are you at Proverbs 31? All right, we've all heard the talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, right? And so we'll break it down into two sections. At first, let's read verses 1 through 9, and we'll cover that passage, and then we'll do our the virtuous woman. The words of King Lemuel, a pronouncement that his mother taught him. What should I say, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my woes? Do not spend your energy on women or your efforts on those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire beer. Otherwise, they will drink, forget what is decreed, and pervert justice for the oppressed. Give beer to the one who is dying. Give wine to the one whose life is bitter. Let them drink so they can forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who have no voice. For the justice for all who are dispossessed, speak up, judge righteously, defend the cause of the oppressed and the needy. Now tonight is the final proverb, it's basically just 2 paragraph or unit proverbs. You have verses 2 through 9 and then verses 10 through 31. But first things first, if you remember last week, it was the author seemed to be Agar. You know, it didn't seem to be written by King Solomon, or at least Solomon didn't put his name to it. But John MacArthur, according to Old Testament surveys in Wisdom Literature and Psalms by James E. Smith, according to John MacArthur and J. Vernon McGee, not much is really known of a King Lemuel. I've never heard of a King Lemuel. When you look into the kings of both the northern and the southern kingdom, there really is no King Lemuel. And from what I could gather, both J. Vernon McGee and John MacArthur believe that both Proverbs 30 and Proverbs 31 were actually written by King Solomon. It simply means that King Solomon did as many writers do today and use a pseudonym, which is a French or a Greek word that means bearing a false name, or the simple way is that he wrote under a pen name. You know, there's many authors that write, and they write under their own name, but then they write for other companies, and they do it under a pen name. So the belief here is kindly that it is under a pen name. And if you noticed last week about Agar, if you remember, it said that he was writing of a pronouncement there in verse 1. And the pronouncement meant that it was an oracle's burden. And King Agar was writing to Ithiel and Ucal, which probably could have been real people, but it was probably more than likely people that were around him. If he was using a pen name, then he was probably using some name to describe the counselors around him or the people that he was directing it to. But here in Proverbs 31, again, we see that King Lemuel, he also has a pronouncement or an oracle's burden. And it's not really directed to anyone specifically, but why? See, this is kind of the way I think. Why would Solomon write under a pen name when he's wrote 29 other Proverbs? Well, I don't know about chapter 30, but if you think about chapter 31, now remember, with historical devaluation of women in Middle Eastern historical devaluation of women in Middle Eastern societies and really in all historical societies, it could have been that he didn't think that it would have had as much clout coming from a woman saying that this is what my mama taught me. This is what my mama put on my heart. So if it was King Solomon and he wrote under the name of Ucal, or he wrote under the name of Emil, that doesn't make it any less wise or any less wisdom, nor does it make it any less inspired by the Spirit of God. But you know what it does mean? If Lemuel is a pen name, then who is the mama that is ingrained this into him? You remember who it is? Bathsheba. Uriah's wife, the mistress of David. And remember, their first son died. And so if it is, then that, again, we've all sinned like Bathsheba. We've all fallen. That doesn't mean that we can't still rise up and encourage those around us. So we see that he's got this burden on his heart. It's a burden that was given to him from his mother, and now he's writing this down. And the first thing we see is that basically mama gives three things that as mama she wants ingrained into her son's knowledge. She wants it ingrained into the way that he lives his life. And notice how she begins. She begins the instruction again, if it would be a queen. She says the relationship. She begins by saying, my son. And then she moves a little bit deeper and she talks about son of my womb. And then she goes on in verse 3 to say, son of my woes, or the King James says, son of my vows, which means a binding promise that is made to a deity, or a commitment that is made, and not doing so implies failure from the deity that you've made promises to. But isn't it like most mothers that they make vows to God? When they have that child and they first hold that child for the first time, they make promises to God. They make promises to the baby girl or the baby boy. They make promises to themselves. And the promise is I'm going to do right by you. I'm going to do my best to bring you up. And we see the picture of that motherly type vow over in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Remember Hannah, she was longing for the child, and she said, making a vow, she pleaded and said, Lord of hosts, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction and remember me and not forget me and give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will not be cut. And you remember, it came to the time that Samuel, he became the only one that was receiving a message from God. It said that the word of God was silent in that day. So we see, but there's something about a relationship with a mother and a grandmother. It's unique. You know, the father does not feel that baby grow inside of him. He doesn't feel that foot kick or that hand poke. And daddies have a special relationship that's unique and the mother doesn't have. But there's something special about a mother's bond with her child. I'm a mama's boy, and I'm proud to say that I'm a mama's boy. And I'm also proud to say that I'm raising a mama's boy as well. So, but Sister Nancy, your post today kind of just went along with the idea of the bond between a mother and what a mother wants for her child. Yours talked about grandparents, but I substitute, or grandmother, but I substituted mother. It says a grandmother or a mother thinks about her grandchildren or children all the time. They're always in her prayers, and even if they're not with her, they are always in their mother or their grandmother's heart. And that's the kind of idea that we're going into. This is the heart that she has taught this to Solomon or to Lemuel. And so now Lemuel is trying to lay it out there. And basically what we see is, here's what Mama told me. Mama told me that these are what I should do. There's three things that basically he deals with, or she deals with as she's talking to him. And it's women, wine, and wisdom. And I'll tell you, those or a lack thereof. And today, that's still a problem. Many mamas are worried that their youngins are going to be stupid. They're going to get with the wrong woman, or addiction is going to come into their life and rob them of their hope. So notice is what he said. The first thing he says, don't give your energy to women or to those who destroy kings. Now, the book of Proverbs has spoken greatly about sexual sins being unwise. And at the same time, it shows that the consequences for those who fall into sexual sins, it's devastating to them, but also to those that are involved in the lives of the one who commits it. If you remember back in Proverbs 7, just a few verses, you remember if it would have been Hollywood that titled, it would have been titled a seduction story. But in the book, it's a story of sexual sin is what it is. But Proverbs 7, beginning in verse 10, it says, a woman came to meet a young man dressed like a prostitute, having an agenda. She is loud and defiant, and her feet do not stay at home. Now in the streets and the town square, she lurks at every corner, and she grabs him, and she kisses him brazenly and speaks to him. If it is Solomon that's writing, and it's Bathsheba, wouldn't she have learned from her own mistakes? Wouldn't she have realized how the devastation that had come in her life, how her first marriage had been broken up, her husband had been murdered, and then they became they lost a child because of the sexual immorality that they were in? So he warns him. He says, or she warns him, and Lemuel repeats it and says, don't let women or those that try to destroy kings. And lots of times, who is it that they use to destroy kings? It's a female, a honey trap, I think is what they call it. It's they try to use something sweet to lead them away. And then the second thing is this. He says, it's not for kings, Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire beer. Otherwise, they forget what they have decreed and pervert justice for the oppressed. Now, a lot has been said in the book of Proverbs about drinking, that it's not good for a prince or a princess to be given to wine. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, Beer is a brawler. Whoever goes astray becomes one of them. Proverbs 23, you read there in verses 29 through 35, it talks about that you get beat up and you don't know how you got beat up, but you woke up sore and all that. And you know, we as a church, we stand on abstaining from alcohol. But I'm telling you this, what we see more and more around the world, I think God's going to care less when we get to heaven. Did you drink beer or didn't you drink beer? Did you have a tattoo or didn't you have a tattoo? Did you have your ear pierced or did you have long hair? He's going to worry about, did you accept my son as your savior or not? And there's a whole lot more to be worrying about right now that's going on around us when literally we have troops behind enemy lines. We have American behind enemy lines, and they're wasting money, time, talking about what pronouns to use. Praise God, it's time for us to stand up and do what we did and voted in godly people that's willing to do what they said. I'll tell you something about Trump. He had a potty mouth, but we didn't vote him in to be a preacher. We voted him in, and he did what he said he would do, praise God. And that's the men that we need leading our country right now. And that's enough politics. I won't go any further than that. But also think about it this. The Bible not only, but addiction is dangerous for a leader. Do y'all remember the Christian Newsom murders in Knoxville? You remember they were killed and they were tortured and all that before they did it. And you remember the judge, his name was Bumgardner, and all that went through. And they found out that he was addicted to painkillers. And all the trials that he had presided over while he had been on painkillers, they had to go back. Not that he had twisted justice or perverted justice, but there was the perception that he could have. And you see, and that's what she's saying. She's saying, hey, if you're given to wine, if you're given to alcohol, especially if there's addiction there, then you're going to forget what's right. You're going to forget what you've decreed. You're going to forget the law, and you're not going to stand up for those that are injustice. But then we also see that Mama says there's a time and place for medications. And we see that it says give beer to one who is dying. Give wine to one whose life is bitter, almost like an antidepressant if you look it up there. Let them drink so that they can forget their poverty and remind them of their troubles or no more. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, remember, you know that Timothy had to be a Baptist pastor because he probably had an ulcer. And Paul told him, said, stop drinking just water and drink a little wine for your stomach or your ailment's sakes there. So Mama says, watch out for the women. Watch out for the wine, and then make sure you lead in wisdom. Notice what she says. She says, speak up for those who have no voice, for the justice of those who are disposed. And that idea of, or dispossessed, meaning that they are destitute, they're needy, their resources, whether it be for long term or whether it be for short term, they are in need. And that's what a good king does. He doesn't chase after women. He doesn't live by the bottle or by the wine, but he stands up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, and he speaks out for those who can't speak out for themselves. So, is there any thoughts on this, what we've looked at tonight? There's the three things. Mama said, don't mess with the women. Mama said, don't mess with the wine. And Mama said, live with godly wisdom. Amen? So which one would you say this is? General leadership or family wisdom? And this is the last one you'll ever have to do for now. All of the above. We do know that it's directly from a king, and it's how to rule as a king. But I think that, one, it's great for leadership. Two, family, this is what a mama wants for her child or a parent will want for a child. And then in general, our country would be a whole lot better if those three things were applied in every home. Amen? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We got 15 minutes. You see on your thing that there's a blank in it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to let you try to guess what the blank is. All right? That sound good? We can go through fast. Okay, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. Notice what it means. The Merriam-Webster, I've got you all that, but we're running low on time, so you can read it. It just means having great virtue or being of great capability and qualified. So the first thing about a Proverbs 31 woman is she would be a woman of virtue or value, noble character, exactly. But what the word I used was of value. She is a woman of value. And you know, Solomon and the writer of Proverbs could be seen as a woman hater after some of them ones that he said, oh, it's better to live on a roof than it is to live in the house with a nagging woman and some of those other things. But I tell you this, whoever penned Proverbs 31 loves the female of the human species and places them high on a place that they should be. It's respected. All right, notice the next one. Number two, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will not lack for anything good. So her husband has what in her? If he trusts in her, he has what in her? Confidence. What do we use? What's the churchy word for confidence? So she is a woman of faithfulness. Exactly. She is a woman of value. She is a woman of faithfulness, a woman that her husband has confidence in. Verse 12. She rewards him good and not with evil all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works, willing to work with her hand. Notice what it says. It said that she rewards him with good and not evil, meaning that she brings profit instead of loss. What's another word for profit or something that you get when you it comes with your insurance? You get certain type of benefits. Exactly. She is a woman of benefits. She's not bringing her husband down, but she's adding value to her husband's life. So we see that a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman of value, a woman of faithfulness, a woman of benefits. Now, let's look at, here we want to read through verses 13 through 16 and verse 24. And think about this. Think about what's all involved here. She selects wool, flax, and works willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field before she buys it, and then after evaluating and buying it, she plants a vineyard with her earnings is the word that's supposed to be there. But then in verse 24, it says she makes and sells fine linen, garments. She delivers belts to the merchant. And if you can read about what, but what does it sound like? What is this woman doing in the passage that we just read? What does it say that she does? She works. Amen. A godly woman, a Proverb 31 woman, is a working woman. She doesn't mind sweating. She doesn't mind getting her hands involved there. She is a woman of value. She is a woman of benefit. She is a woman of faithfulness. She is a woman of work. Notice in verse 17, it says she draws from her own strength and reveals that her arms are strong. I couldn't help but think of the World War II picture where it showed the Rosie the Riveter, you know, and she's got her arm up like there. So not only is she a working woman, but she's a woman of strength. Exactly. She's a woman. She's not fragile. Now women are delicate, but there's a difference between delicate and fragile. Praise God, this woman ain't going to fall apart when something comes up. She's going to roll her sleeves up and she's going to get in there and be a benefit to the family and to the group. Verse 18, it says, she recognizes that her profits are good. And notice this, her lamp never goes out of nighttime. Now, the reason, the idea, you keep the light on because if it's dark, then they recognize that you're probably asleep in the house. So she makes up and she gets up to make sure, just like around here used to, you had to keep the fire burning at night or you had to start the fire all over. And so she was able to, she continued on while everybody else was sleeping. She made sure. What's another word for continuing on? That also means patience in the Bible too, that word, this word. Persevere or endurance. Exactly. She is a woman of endurance or she is a woman of perseverance. Amen. Then in verse 7, she extends her hand to the spinning staff and her hands to the spindle. I was going to get into all of that, but now think about this woman. She's a woman of value. She's a woman of faithfulness. She's a woman of benefits. She's a woman of work. She's a woman of strength. She's a woman that endures. But now think about the way that she works. It says here that she's going to put her hands to basically, she's going to do some sewing is what is happening here. But we also know that she cooks breakfast for the household. She buys land. She's got her own vineyard. She makes clothing and sells it. What's this? I would say this is a multi-what? Multi-talented, a virtuous or a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman of many talents. You don't have to, she's not a cookie cutter woman. You can put her anywhere and she's going to do her best and be able to take care of whatever that situation is. All right, verse 20, her hands reach out to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. What would we call that today? She is a woman of compassion, or what is it when we give to the needy? It's another C word? Charity. She is a woman of charity and compassion. She gives to others. She's not a hoarder. She doesn't just say it's all about me, but she recognizes, just like mama told the young boy, remember mama told the son, take care, stand up for those that can't stand up, speak out for those that can't speak out. And a virtuous woman is one that gives to those or shows charity. Verse 21, she is not in fear for her household when snow comes, for all of her house is doubly clothed. Praise God, she don't care. She's going to put three or four suits on you. You're going to walk like this when you leave the mama's house because she's going to make sure that you, but what is she doing? She's making sure that everything that her family need is what? Taken care of, or what's a P word we use for? Provided for. She is a woman of provisions. She makes sure that they're took care of. Anybody want to talk about one of these? I'm trying just to get through tonight. But is there anyone that stood out to you? Anyone that makes you think about your mama? Or anyone that makes you, or all of, I told Amy I was preaching about her and I wasn't even going to use her name. Cha-ching. I've been gone for a few days. I had to put some points in there. Now, I want you to look, I want to read verse 22 to you, but then I want to read another verse to you. She makes her own, sorry, I misspelled, it's one. She makes her own bed covering. Her clothing is of fine linen and of purple. So we've got fine linen, and what does purple represent in biblical terms? Royalty. Now listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold pearls and all that, but with what is proper for a woman who professes godliness with good works. So she's a woman of charity. She's a woman of provision. But when it comes to her clothes, she is a woman of proper modesty or fashion. Yes, she has proper modesty or proper fashion. She dresses the way that a godly or a Proverbs 31 woman ought to dress. You remember in chapter 7, he said, I seen a woman with the attire of a prostitute. Now, I tell you what, some things that they wear to school today, we'd have been sent home, buddy, if you'd have wore them. You couldn't wear ripped up jeans below the knee. You could have holes in your knee, around your knees, but you couldn't let them be tore up more than that. And remember that the girls' clothes at our school, they had to at least be past the tips of your fingers. If not, you went home. And you see, that's what our culture is losing right now. Ladies don't know how to dress like a lady. Men don't know how to dress like a man because our culture is so confused. I mean, this unisect type thing is what's taking over. And it's, believe you me, it is a direct attack from the devil, because he doesn't want you to be able to tell if a man, if it's a man or a woman. Why? Because God wants it to be that way. And so he just wants it to be morphed into just human. You can't tell one way or another. And that's the people that are popular in Hollywood and in singing and stuff like that. Some that you can't even tell who they are or what they are. I'm not going to call out a name because I said I would stop. I wouldn't do it. But verse 23, her husband is known at the gates. Now remember, the gates are the place of where business gets done. You remember we've studied that. The gates are a special place, man. Notice it says it's the place where the elders or the nobles sit out. And look, her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. So not only is she a woman of a proper fashion, but she is a woman that strengthens her husband. Her husband is a better man because she's in his life. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. He may not have found the seat at the gate had he not married her. Why? Because he might have found one of them ones that was dressed in the attire of a prostitute, like over in chapter 7, and his whole life would have been different that way. But because he found, or God blessed him with a Proverbs 31 woman, he is a stronger man, and he is a respected man because he's married to a respected woman. Any thoughts there? All right, look in verse 25. She has strength. Now, we've already said that she's a woman of strength, right? So we're not going to repeat that one. But she is a woman of strength and honor. They're her clothing. And she can laugh at the time to come. So she is a woman not of strength, but she is a woman of what? Honor. She is a woman of honor. She's a woman of honor. Because she's a woman of honor, then her husband is in a place of authority. Before that. But notice it says that she can laugh at the time to come. What do you think that means? I think that the author is talking about, remember it said earlier back in verse 21, she ain't scared when the snow begins to fall. Why? Because she's got things took care of. She's got enough clothing for them. Her husband's took care of. And even if it's not the snow, maybe it's some other hardship that would come. You know, snow and winter is a picture of death and difficulty and all that. So she's not scared. She's not a woman that lives in fear. She is a woman that is a woman of honor and strength and virtue and benefits and labor. And then in verse 26, there's two things that we see there. In verse 12, she's a woman of honor, but in verse 26a, it says that her mouth speaks what? So she is a woman of wisdom. But it also says that on her tongue, there are loving instruction is on her tongue. So she's a woman of wisdom, but she's also a woman of loving what? Instruction or kindness. Of loving kindness. So, any thoughts on that? Okay, that clock ain't been reset. Okay, I was just saying, boy, I know you ain't preached in a week, but my goodness, son. let me flip this one over. Okay, all right. Let's see. Verse 27. She watches over the activities of her household, and she is never idle. I almost see a picture of Mother Goose here, you know, looking out for her goslings, or the mama. Y'all call them ditties, but we call them biddies. A mama chicken looking out for her biddies, you know, just rustling them up and all that. So in this picture that it says she watches over her household, she is a woman who is a good mom. She's super mom. That's it. She is a good mama. She's a good mama. She make, don't you be sitting around. My mama on Saturdays is when she's cleaned the house. And there was two things. You If you was in the house, that means you had to do chores, so you did your best to stay outside all day on Saturday. And number two, you better not walk across that floor while it's still wet, or she's going to get you, buddy. And to this day, you take your shoes off before you enter her house and put on a white pair of socks, too, because she wants a white pair of socks. That's just the way a good mama does right there. Verses 28 and 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. She is a benefit. Remember, she's been a benefit to them. She's been a benefit to their father. She's been a benefit to the community. Remember, she reaches out. They say that our mom is awesome. Her husband says, he praises her. He says, I got a great wife, man. She's my sugar mama. She bought a field, got a vineyard. I get to sit at the gate and gossip all day. She brings home I got a sugar mama. And then in verse 31 it says, and let her work praise her. Where at? In the city gate. So she is a woman that should be what? Praised. She admired, exactly. She should be exalted. She's to be what looked out for. Notice this in verse 29. Now, I believe this is what the children say about their mama. I believe this is kindly what the husband says about his wife. It is in verse 29, but it says, many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. She is a woman. I'm going to give you this one. She is a woman that excels. She is a woman that excels, meaning that she exceeds the standard. She goes above and beyond. That's why she is known as a Proverb 31 woman, because she's not just your average everyday woman. She's a Proverb 31 woman. And the reason we know and why we value Proverbs 31 and the idea of a Proverbs 31 woman, and look it up, because there's a whole lot written on it, and it's better than what I could ever do. But verse 30 tells us why she's a Proverbs 31 woman. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. All those other things are true because she is a woman who what? Fears the Lord. Fears the Lord. I think it's been a good study, don't y'all? I've enjoyed it. It got a little bogged down there every now and then. But now we got to figure out where we got to go with it. You know, we're starting 1 Peter really in depth this Sunday night. And we're still in Nehemiah, and now we got to figure out. So we've got a New Testament, and we've got an Old Testament. Which way we want to go, old or new? I would like to do one of the minor prophets. You know, not that way. It's not Isaiah. You know, we don't have to be there for so long. But it's also historical context of the Old Covenant helps us live out the New Covenant better. Nahum, Brother Wayne told me about y'all going to be doing the same work that some of your students are doing down there. I think that's awesome, learning scriptures and all that. That's great, man. You know, I mean, what we have to realize is that if you want to be a Proverbs 31 woman, then the first thing that has to happen is you have to think like a Proverbs 31 woman. So you have to know those scriptures in your head, and then you can live them out. You can practice those precepts, you know. And so then we drive out what the world standard of a woman or a mother or a wife should be, and we replace it with what the truth of God says a woman should be by the truth in our head, and then we live out that truth or we practice that truth in our life. Amen. All right, anything else before we close tonight? I'm hungry. I need eight today. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to be with your people. It's good to have your word to study together. It's good to laugh, even though, Lord, we know that many of our friends and family, Even those here tonight, Lord, we're dealing with issues. We have hurts. We have pains. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to know that He who lives within us is greater than whatever it is that's coming against us. And Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You that the victory has been won. And thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, that I have won, I will win, I am winning, and it's not because of anything I can do, will do, or don't do, but it's all because of what Jesus has done. And God, I pray tonight that we at Thomas Village keep the main thing the main thing, and that we share the love of Jesus into the world around us. And it's in His name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. See ya.